This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. One thing holding the Sixers back right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance.
We understand that Joel Embiid is a monster. They didn't have him in the second half, which, you know, we have to take full advantage of him.
Does the thought cross your head at all to take him out of the game there?
You want me to take Ben Simmons off the floor?
No, I mean, I got to ask the question.
I need a pass on that.
Let's realize something here, okay? Let's be very clear. The best player game for game in the regular season in this NBA season was James Harden. He was the best player in the world, regular season. But the guy who was going to win MVP, because Harden, remember, didn't join the Nets right away. There was a couple weeks where he was in Houston, so he didn't play for the Nets that whole time. And when he was playing for Houston, he wasn't the normal James Harden. He was forcing a trade. So, in fact, Joel Embiid was going to be MVP, but he missed too much time. And Jokic was too good to give Embiid the MVP. Right, Jokic offensively was even better than Embiid, although he wasn't the same defensively. So game for game, Embiid was better. Jokic is going to get MVP because even though Harden was the very best game for game, he wasn't with the Nets the whole time. Okay. The MVP gets hurt, as Embiid did in game four. They're about to sweep Washington, and Embiid goes down early in the game. And the way he came down, Robin Lopez hit him in the air, or met him in the air, really like the first quarter of the game, game four. Embiid came down. The way he came down, it looked like his back took the brunt of it when you saw it. And I was like, oh, that's going to be bad, especially with a guy. You know, if you talk to people behind the scenes, it was Embiid's knee coming into the league. That's why he went third overall instead of first. But it was his back that had the training staff worried in Philadelphia as time went on. Like, why wasn't Embiid in better shape sometimes? Because how do you practice yourself into shape if you're having a back issue and you're saving yourself for the game, right? And so when I saw that and he's grabbing his hip after he comes down, I'm like, oh, but then it's his knee, they're saying, that kept him out of the game. That worries me a little bit because since he came down on the back and the hip, that's where the acute pain was, right? But maybe that was disguising actually where an injury took place with the knee. The Sixers better hope that's not the case, because there's not a single team in the NBA, even the Nets, who have a big three, where you can take the best player off that team and they win the championship. It ain't going to happen. Even the second best player. Like, if KD's the best player in the Nets, take him off. Nets aren't going to win the championship. Take Harden off the Nets. Not going to win the championship. Take LeBron or AD off the Lakers. Not going to win the championship. Take Jamal Murray, second best player on the team, off the Nuggets. Nuggets ain't going to win the championship. Maybe they could have competed for one with Jamal Murray. It's just the way it is. And without Embiid, they're sunk. They better hope Embiid gets back. But they should be able to close out Washington with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, you can play. Just surround him with shooters. You could build a team around Ben Simmons. You won't win the championship because it's not just like, well, Ben Simmons needs to shoot better the way Rondo back in the day needed to shoot better, or the way Giannis needs to shoot a little better. No, it's that Ben Simmons has like a psychotic level of he won't even attempt a shot. The only shots he attempts are from like within 8 feet. And they'll give him out to 12 feet with absolutely like 8 to 12 feet. There's no defensive attention. Just, you don't have to shoot even a mid-range. Just have some kind of offense outside of 8 feet. At any rate, that would stop him from winning a championship, but not from advancing in the playoffs. They got a lot of defense on that team, even without Embiid. Thibault's an elite defender, top 10 in the league, and he has a chance to go down as one of the great defenders who ever lived, Thibault, if he continues to develop and gets a little more offensive game so you can keep him out on the floor. Danny Green can still defend. He can really 3-and-D. Seth Curry can three, at least. He can shoot. No, and Tobias Harris having his best defensive season, and offensively he's very good. The Sixers should have it up. And here's the thing. You surround him with shooters. What are you going to do to stop Ben Simmons? He's going to drive. If you don't double him, he's going to get into the paint and score. If you do, he's going to find the open man. He's created more open looks from three than any player in the league since he entered the league. Number one. He's like, he could be, if he could shoot, he could be LeBron 2.0 because he has better handles than LeBron and he's just as good a passer. And he's even a little taller. So, yeah, you could win a playoff series like this, especially up 3-1 with Ben Simmons, but Doc Rivers better do it. You cannot go down if you're Doc Rivers with one championship in which he had a big three in a league that no one else did. Right? There was no other big three in basketball when he had Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett, and he won one championship. And spent a lot of time since then blowing 3-1 leads in series. And Doc is known as a great coach, great motivator, great out of, you know, plays out of timeouts, all that stuff that works in the playoffs. But the results have not been there. Let's just be honest. Can you imagine if the Sixers collapse to a team like Washington? And there is a little danger of that because Westbrook and Beal, even when they turn the ball over a lot, as they have recently, they can keep attacking, and make things difficult. Here's Doc Rivers defending Ben Simmons, who missed, you know, the strategy for Washington to win that game at the end of the game to ice it was put Ben Simmons on the line and have him miss free throws. That's exactly what happened. What about that, Doc?
I didn't think he was scared of the moment. He just didn't make them. So, again, with Ben, we're going to keep him on the floor. Unless you guys want us to bench him the whole game. If anybody wants us to do that, just let me know. And then I'll know you don't know basketball.
Right. No, of course you have to play Ben Simmons. But the fact is, sometimes you take him off ball. You have to because he can't shoot at all. And you put him in the dunker spot. And with Embiid on the team, that's an issue. Right? Because suddenly the spacing's no good. And with Embiid, and now Embiid's on the perimeter, and with Embiid off the team, it's also not so great. Because as I said, you'd like to surround Simmons with shooters and play the way at least Milwaukee used to. It may not be great ultimately in the playoffs, but you'll win a lot. And at least win a playoff series, you would think. Surrounding Simmons with shooters, letting him attack the rim. And unlike Giannis, he doesn't need a head of steam to get going. He's not a big dressed up as a point guard. He's really a point guard. Simmons has great handles. They can't, by the way, he's shooting 25% through four games from the line. That's worse than Wilt or Shaq ever shot from the line. And those are bigs, but again, Simmons is 6'10". He's the height of bigs in the past. Oof. Can he carry the team? You have three shots to win one game right now. Oh, he better be able to carry this team, Ben Simmons. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. And you know who will be up for Ben Simmons next, should they be able to win a single game in the next three against Washington? The winner of Atlanta and New York, which right now looks like it's going to be Atlanta. Can they beat Atlanta without Embiid? Sideline Mike in Atlanta. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir. They will not beat the Atlanta Hawks without Joel Embiid. Mm. Now, Max, I left the Atlanta Hawks on February 24th, 1994. Mm-hmm. Tell me what happened on that day, Max.
1994?
February 24th, 1994. You know what happened that day?
1994.
You know what happened that day?
No, I can't. I don't know what happened that day.
They traded Dominique Wilkins, and I haven't given a rat's ass about
the
Hawks.
But Dominique was at the end by then.
That's okay, and Danny Manning didn't want to play here, so you should have got another player.
Yeah, but hold on. I was a Knicks fan back then. You know what the Knicks did with Patrick Ewing? The Knicks, instead of letting Ewing just kind of peter out on the Knicks and getting out of the contract, they traded him for the remains of Glenn Rice and a couple other players and had cap problems for years. I understand why you want to, like, why you want Dominique respected more than that. But by the way, you haven't missed much if you're a Hawks fan since then. All right. Now, as you know, guests join me on the Goodyear hotline. And
right, you're not beating this Suns team without Anthony Davis, especially with CP3 now looking healthier.
Not just the groin now, it was the knee before.
I'm hearing a lot of pessimism around Anthony Davis about his availability.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer on the Goodyear hotline. Ramona.
What's up, Matt?
You tell me. What's up? What's the latest with AD?
Well, I think that there's this sense that tonight feels like be smart, don't risk it. And the question is, if they win this one, if they're somehow, the Lakers are somehow able to win without Anthony Davis tonight, you know, you just keep them out. I think that's the sense here, because generally we have an injury like this. It's 7 to 10 days. You know, that's a normal groin injury, but I think the way he got hurt, with it being on the same side as the knee that was kind of messed up, and there's a whole kinetic chain, right? It starts with your foot, then it goes to your knee, then it goes to your quad or your hamstring, sometimes your groin. So it's like, should you be putting him back out there? I think the Lakers would love to not have to put him out there for a little while, but if they lose, you know, and they have game
six at
home, Max.
But if they win, if they can steal a game on the road, they have more time to rest
That's
him,
right.
correct? They will not play That's him in a game six, right?
Well, I think that's a big question, right? I wouldn't. Would you? I mean, we
nope. Not if you win.
Go deep in the playoffs. You know, if you win, I think you sit him until you have to play him. But, you know, do you really want that to be a game seven on the road in Phoenix? I don't know. I mean, I've been covering each game of the series, and Chris Paul in this series, since he hurt his shoulder, has looked decent to not as good in the first half, and then almost unplayable in the second half until game four. And I don't know if it was because they were facing their own gut check. Oh my gosh, if we lose this, we're down 3-1. And he just found a way to get through it. But I don't, you know, we saw one good game with his shoulder. I hope it holds up. I was hating watching the series with him clearly hobbled. I want to see both teams at full strength, but I don't know that we're going to get that.
Ramona,
anymore.
Who needs to step up on the Lakers in AD's absence? I saw Kuzma botch a play at the rim where you're like, come on, Kuz, what's going on? I saw Drummond go long stretches being less effective than Mark Gasol.
Yep.
I have not seen Schroeder play better than, say, an average point guard. I mean, he's had some good games,
All right.
Like most point guards, right? Who needs to step up in AD's absence?
Okay, the first answer is LeBron, because we all know LeBron can. Like, he's been good in this series, but he can be great, and it's a question for him of, you know, can if you do that for a game, cool, but can you do that for two games, three games, four games, whatever they need him to do here? He's 36 years old, Max. Like, at some point, like, you don't want to activate the playoff LeBron until you absolutely have to. I think they kind of have to now. But the real answer right now is Dennis Schroeder. He's supposed to be the Lakers' third best player. He wants to get paid $100 million. You want to be $100 million?
I agree with this, actually. I agree with this. I think even though you need a finisher at the rim and you're looking at Drummond and Kuzma and everything, it's actually not as specific in terms of job description as that.
Yeah.
It's much more, who's the best player on your team? That's LeBron. Who is the second best player? That's AD.
Yeah.
AD's out. Who's the third best player on the team? That is supposed to be Schroeder. He's got to step up.
Yes. Look, I'm going to read you a stat. In the Lakers' two wins in this series, Schroeder is averaging 22 points and shooting 52% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Lakers are plus 11 in those minutes. In their two losses, he's averaging 11 points and 40% shooting, with the Lakers being a minus 8 in those minutes.
Mm.
That's terrible, okay? You want to be a $100 million point guard. He's turned down $84 million. Wants to be a $100 million point guard. This is your time to shine, man. Going into free agency, this is your time.
Talking to Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I see where Mike Trudell reported that KCP says he's feeling much better. The knee gets better every day, and that as of yesterday, he's questionable to play tonight. What is the latest, as far as you understand it, on KCP? Because they missed that corner shooting, Ramona.
They really do. Now, he is one of those guys, I think he's a little like AD in the sense that if he can play, he's a little closer, right? Because he already sat out a game. He's already had that that injury, and he sat out game four. I think he's a little closer, but you have that same call. Do you want to put him out there in a 2-2 series, or do you want to make sure he's really healthy in case you go down here? If you lose this game in Phoenix, so you put him out there tonight, and then you lose anyway. Now he's not at full strength for that game game six in LA, where you'd be down 3-2. So it's he's gonna have to make that same call. I think the Lakers training staff has to make the same call. A little different though, in the sense Anthony Davis is a superstar. If you put him out there too soon and he re-injures his groin and now he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, I mean, you're not gonna win anything. So there's more of a risk there. With KCP's injury, it's not the same kind of risk level with his type of injury, right? It's more, can he play through it? I think where they are right now is what is your level of fear of the Suns? In talking to their, I don't want to say names.
I'll tell you what, Ramona, I think if AD can go in game six if he has to, but be most of himself by game seven, I think the Lakers still win this in seven games. Because what it comes down to is a lot is on the line for Chris Paul and his legacy. And there is some on the line for LeBron, too. It's actually a very important – I alluded to this earlier in the show. I'm going to pay it off right now with you on the phone. It's a huge game in the history of LeBron's career because who knows how many more bites at the apple he's going to get. We can see AD's health is not reliable. Mm-hmm. We can see the Lakers, most of their resources are wrapped up in LeBron and AD. Maybe the potentially third best player in TLC is what I call him? What did I just call him?
Shooter. TLC. KCP. Right?
Not KCP. Yeah, not KCP. Talen Horton Tucker. THT is several years away. THT is several years away from being in his prime where otherwise I think he'd eventually be the third best player on the team. Yeah. The point is he's chasing MJ. LeBron, he really needs this year. And Chris Paul can't keep getting knocked out early in the playoffs. So I think when it comes down to it, there'll be a game seven and give me the LeBron team. But man, there's a lot at stake. Do you think, given all the injuries on this Lakers team, forget about winning the whole thing, can they get out of the West, Ramona?
You know, when I saw it, it's amazing how quickly things can turn because the way they looked in game three, Max, I was like, oh, they're finding it. LeBron started to look like I was seeing more than just the occasional flash here and there. Like the most LeBron I have seen him look was actually in the play-in game in the second half when he was going against Steph Curry and he knew he had to do it. He had to like activate the playoff LeBron. And then game three, that second half when they were punking the Suns, right? So Chris Paul comes out, Devin Booker, that's where Devin Booker gets ejected at the end. Jay Crowder can't make a shot. Like you could just tell LeBron was like, oh, we got these guys on the ropes. Let's go in for the kill here. And I was like, oh, the Lakers are going to win this in five. Like, they look so good right now, and Phoenix looks broken. Chris doesn't look like he can play with that shoulder. And then one game later, literally one, not even one game later, one quarter later, when Anthony Davis gets hurt, now I'm wondering if they can even win the series.
That's why you got to get out of this series, Ramona. You got because who knows what's going to happen with the health of other teams. You got to give yourself a shot. You agree with me. Schroeder's got to be the guy who steps up. He wants $100 million. Play like it right now. Ramona, they're telling me I have to wrap up the segment. We have so much to do today, but it's always good to hear from you.
Okay.
It's always good to hear from you.
Always good to hear from you. I miss you.
Hopefully,
I wish you good luck with your Knicks. I know this is a big moment. You know, I here in New York, I know the city must be like buzzing, nervous. What's the feeling?
The main thing is, Ramona, I tell you, a lot of people, you know, I miss the people in L.A. and not living in L.A. anymore. I know what I'm supposed to say is it's the people that I really miss. But the fact of the matter is you find good people and bad people everywhere. I miss the weather, Ramona. That's really what I miss. The sun, it was nice hanging out with everybody, all my friends at 710 ESPN. But I would trade all of you for some sunshine on a consistent basis in New York City. I'm just being honest. It's not that I don't love you, Ramona.
I understand.
It's that I
love New York too. I'm from LA, but I love New York, so I get you.
Yeah.
But no, I won't tell you that it's like 85 and beautiful right now. But
well, actually, it's nice today, but all Memorial Day weekend, it was pouring rain and freezing.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's right.
It's not acceptable. It's May.
That's right. Just miserable. The great Ramona Shelburne, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Ramona. On the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. June 1st, very important day for the Packers. I'll tell you why. Coming up, friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried that your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu, fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them, and apparently these guys are so legit that employers are lining up to hire their graduates. And it's true. I have spoken to them. Before I do these kind of reads, I like to know who I'm getting into business with here. And in as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. 4 months from now, you could have a career. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you. Why is today so important for the Green Bay Packers? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
This is a choose your side. Line has been drawn in the sand battle in Green Bay.
All of the players choosing sides. Don't listen to Dan Orlovsky and be dumb.
Never been about the draft pick. It's just kind of about a philosophy.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Only one person calling the shots in Green Bay. And hint, his name doesn't rhyme with Buttenkunst. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Today is the last day before Aaron Rodgers' cap charge stands at over $38 million. If the Packers trade the reigning MVP anytime after today, the charge will drop nearly in half. So this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Now, Aaron Rodgers can be fined over $90,000 if he misses all 3 days of next week's mini camp. And on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning here on ESPN Radio, Dan Graziano explained why he believes Rodgers is being ridiculous. I'll explain why Dan is wrong coming up, but first listen to Dan.
I think Rodgers is being completely ridiculous. Like, one of the things, like, there's so many layers to this that bother me, but one of the things is, like, the idea that, oh, it would have been better if they had told him they were going to draft Jordan Love before they did. No, it wouldn't. They still would have picked it. It still would have been the same exact situation. Right. They took his replacement. Look, if he doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to play. They can get a lot of money back, and they can move on to Jordan Love sooner than they planned to. If he does want to play, where is he going to go that gives him a better chance to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I agree with Dan that the Packers give him like a top five. Maybe there are some teams that give him even a better chance, right? But Packers give him a very good chance to win a Super Bowl. They're one of the teams that give him a great chance. But they're not just going to move on to Jordan Love and say, hey, don't play. You know why they're not going to? Let me explain this. It's not that complicated. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Let me explain why Dan Graziano's wrong. You're not going to cut off your nose to spite your face. Do you know how stupid you have to be to do that? Are the Packers that stupid? Are they actually, what are you going to get for Aaron Rodgers in a trade? A minimum of what? I would say realistically you can get three firsts and stuff for Aaron Rodgers. So you mean to tell me you'd rather move forward just with what you have and Jordan Love more than you'd like to move forward with three firsts and stuff and Jordan Love? No, of course not. Of course you're going to move forward with the stuff you can get for Aaron Rodgers. Because you can't make Aaron Rodgers play for you. He can just say, okay, see you later. Here's the money. I'm not going to play for you. And even if you, do you want to make him play for you? Oh, okay, well, if you don't, he can go through the motions. He can put up numbers, but is he going to lead you in a full contact sport like football? Is he going to lead your team to the promised land with one foot in, one foot out, without his heart all in? No. And the Packers know this. So this is, look, AD wanted to get traded to the Lakers. Okay? All it took was AD's people letting all the other teams know, like the Celtics, remember that? He's not going to re-sign with you. Okay, so now no one's going to offer anything for AD except the Lakers. And eventually it dawned on the Pelicans, oh, AD is the boss, and our marching orders are trade him to the Lakers. Like, we have to do that, or we get nothing for AD ultimately. So they traded him to the Lakers. Fertitta figured this out in Houston. I have to trade James Harden, and I have to trade him to the team he instructs me to trade him to. I got to trade him to the Nets. He told me to trade him to the Nets. I have to do it. Because all it takes is James Harden to let the other teams know I'm not interested in playing for you. And now suddenly they ain't going to give up that much for James Harden. And now the Rockets deal gets worse to get less for Harden. So, no, of course the Packers aren't going to say, you know what, forget all the first-round picks we could get for Aaron Rodgers. Of course they're also not going to say, you know what, Rodgers, we know you don't want to be here. We're asking you to lead our team to the Super Bowl anyway. That's not how it works in the NFL. What will dawn on the Packers sooner than later is that Rodgers is the one making the decisions here. Rodgers is, 100%, not 99%, 100% he's going to make the decision. And if the Packers want him to stay the Packers quarterback, their job is to change his mind. He is the boss. He is in control. And the only way to get what you want is to change the will of Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, his will beats your will, Green Bay Packers, NFL. That's what they can't get their mind around. It galls them. Wait, he's labor. We're the boss. No, he's the boss. Rodgers is the boss. He will tell you how high to jump and when you can come down. And that's the way it is. You don't have to like it. James Harden was the boss. AD was the boss. Well, you think it's coincidence that AD said, I want to go to the Lakers? The Lakers didn't have anything to he's on the Lakers right now. Harden's on the Nets right now, just like he told the team. And Aaron Rodgers he will either remain a Packer if they can persuade him to remain a Packer, but it won't be the Packers making the decision. They are not the deciding ones. They're not the choosing ones. They're the ones who have to appeal to Aaron Rodgers to change his mind. His mind will decide where he is. And right now, his mind is that he does not want to be a Packer. So he won't be. And it's that simple. The Ultimate Fighter is back. The reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract is on ESPN+. Stream new episodes every Tuesday only on ESPN+. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC. Roger, I'd like to see the calls. I'm going to get to a call or two. There we go. Matthew in Texas, you're on The Max Kellerman Show.
Max, first-time caller, big, huge fan. Huge
fan. Thank you, brother.
Boxing prowess and your intelligence, bar none.
Yes, yes.
I'm a Packers fan since six. I'm 26 years old. If Brett Favre's dad introduced me to the Packers and everything like that, why do we keep shooting ourselves in the foot as an organization? Because you know, a quarterback is your priority regardless of what team you are, what division. It doesn't matter. But the people and being a leader as he is and as any quarterback should be, the team is going to follow suit regardless. And, right. You know, all you want on the other side or on your offense is a leader and somebody to intimidate the defense. And then with that, you can go a long way. But with the situation, I've seen the Packers do this time and time again. Players are not going to want to come to us anymore, but not even anymore. It was hard to get them over here regardless.
Yeah, your receivers aren't showing up either right now, by the way. The receivers are showing solidarity with the quarterback. No, you're absolutely right. And the Packers, by the way, are America's team. The real answer to who's America's team are the Packers. They play in the middle of the country. They're the team of Lombardi. That's the Cowboys fans. Are the engineer and the producer of the show are Cowboys fans. Right, exactly. Buzz yourself. They're the team of Lombardi. It's the Lombardi Trophy. They're the original great team in the NFL and all that. They represent probably, you know, the middle of the country more than certainly the Cowboys do. And they've also had success in recent years. They've, you know, won a Super Bowl in Rodgers' career. They won a Super Bowl in Favre's career. Won a Super Bowls in Bart Starr's career. It's time to break. No one cares about the Packers. They better get this right with Aaron Rodgers. Cowboys fans undermining me. What else is new? Football fans. Should athletes have to speak to the media? Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? It was nothing special today. I don't know. You don't even need to download it today. It was okay. I don't know. Check it out or don't check it out. See, if I tell you every day it's the greatest show ever, you won't believe me after a while. I would say this was a standard issue show. It was pretty good. It wasn't the worst. You can always find both hours of it posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Yes, Raj.
Max, I wanted to know if you noticed a trend today.
What's that?
Did you notice a trend?
No, I didn't notice the trend. What's the trend?
You don't hear this song playing for the fourth time today? Like you didn't make reference to it once?
So June 1st, first of the month, yeah. Bone Thugs.
Yeah, we played it four times. Where do you, and how many times do you do this, B? You've done this like...
Let me tell you a story about my grandparents, okay? My Bubba and Zeta, they were immigrants, and they worked very hard, right? And they lived above a tiny little coffee shop kind of place that they ran with like Knishes and stuff in the South Bronx. going back to the, you know, the 30s and 40s. And once in a while, my Bubba, who's about five, my grandmother, who's about 5 feet tall and weighed maybe 95 pounds, like a little lady, would rearrange all the furniture in the living room. Big, heavy chest of drawers, a chair here, a chair there. She wanted to rearrange it. You know, like, people don't have any money, but she wanted to freshen things up every now and then. My Zeta, my grandfather, would walk in the room and not say anything. He just, wherever the chair was, he would sit down in that chair. And she'd be like, come on. You know, like, how wouldn't he even be curious? Like, how did this woman get all the furniture in different place in this room, this little room, roach infested room? Right? How'd she do it? No, he didn't care. He just sat down. Wherever the chair was is where he sat down. That's like me, Raj and Brendan. Wherever the chair is, I sit down.
Okay.
You want me notice that you're playing new music? It's because it's June 1st.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. All right.
You know how hard it is to get to be to do something anyway. And then when he plays something, I want him to acknowledge it.
Okay. But here's your acknowledgement. Very good, guys. It is the first of the month.
Let's see how you do July 1st.
I noticed. You know what, guys? It is. You must have planned ahead. Hey, you know what? It's the first day of the month. And there's a song that actually they sing about the first day of the month. And we're going to play it until Max notices. All right. Very good. You know, Naomi Osaka.
Now we
got
to do the intro.
She withdraws from the French Open because she has certain media responsibilities that she didn't feel up to. And in her explanation for why she withdrew, I thought she made a very good point. She said, I never wanted to be a distraction from the tournament. I accept that my timing was not ideal. My message could have been clearer. More importantly, I would never want to trivialize mental health or use the term lightly. But she'd written that the best thing for the tournament, the other players, and my well-being is to withdraw, because she was getting fined for not going to the post-match press conferences. Well, good for Naomi Osaka. You know, when we talk about mental health, it should not be stigmatized. It's a great example she's setting because she's universally admired, not just for the way she plays, but she handles herself at such a young age, so maturely, it seems to me. And good, people like Naomi Osaka who are publicly admired, it's good for them to be public about what they struggle with in terms of mental health, to take the stigma away. I will say that mental health is kind of hard for people to self-diagnose at times, because like with a physical injury, you can get physically hurt. Wait, am I just feeling pain, or is this an injury I shouldn't be messing with, right? This preclude me from playing. And it's even harder to tell your emotional state. Like, am I just feeling anxiety because this is an anxious moment? There's a lot at stake professionally. Or am I actually suffering from some kind of anxiety disorder? Difficult to determine. And by the way, I'm sure event organizers are also thinking, well, if we make an exception for her, people start using mental health issues or the excuse of mental health issues, even when they're not really present, to get out of media responsibilities. Because who wants to do the media? It's a pain in the butt. And yet, people are not just showing up to watch high-end athletics, right? High-end competition. They, all, you know, we sell sports through storytelling. Who are the characters? What's at stake for them? What are the obstacles? Now, people might say, well, look, with social media now, that may be changing. They don't need traditional media. And maybe that's right. Maybe it's not, though. Maybe especially not for a niche sport. Maybe it's good for superstars like Naomi Osaka. But maybe in order to create more stars and to grow the kind of middle class of the sport, traditional media is important. I don't know the answer to that. It's not it wouldn't be the first time, if changes were made as a result of this in terms of media responsibilities, that the nature of media around sports has changed. It's happened in the past. But the upshot is, I think everyone behaved appropriately given the circumstances. Look, if you can't do your media obligations, maybe it is best to withdraw from this tournament. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Josh in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I got two quick points.
Go.
First of all, I heard this morning, and I forgot what show it was, they were talking about how if KD wins another chip, you can start putting them in the same conversation as LeBron and KD, or Michael Jordan, all those things. First of all, I give him no credit for any of the chips he's won. He's never carried a team on his own. I get it. He's talented, but...
Well, no one's ever carried a team to a championship on their own. They all need help, but I understand what you mean. No, KD has not proven it in a way that Jordan or LeBron has. But at a certain point, you have to start saying, given his package of skills and talent and size as a player, that if he then wins a championship with Brooklyn, even though once again they'll be favored in every series, partly it's because he's on the court. And at a certain point, people will ask, even though Larry Bird, you know, took a team from 20 wins to 60 wins in one season and was the, you know, alpha and the MVP of the league three consecutive seasons, as a package, KD versus Bird, and he'll start to enter those conversations more seriously, I think, among more fans. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming right up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.